Hey, welcome church, and it's so good to have you here on Easter Sunday. We're going to be sharing about receiving the Passover. You know, today while I got up and I was praying, for the first time I think within these weeks, it just really dawned on me that quarantine moment. Normally on a Sunday morning I would get up and I'd be preparing for church, and I just started to kind of think, hey, what is it that I really, really miss? And one of the things I really miss is driving into our car park and seeing the car park attendants. There's a rumor, which is incorrect, that I do not know how to park. And so what tends to happen is if I don't park well, people take pictures of it and then post it. I actually kind of miss it. So for the car park attendants, I just want to remind you that I do know how to park. I just do it for you. What I miss that is coming up to church and watching the automatic door slide open and a smiling face going, "Welcome, Pastor Ted." I really miss that. And then I miss walking into our auditorium and seeing the encounter team worshiping God. I miss going past the children's church and seeing our children workers really active. I miss that. I miss going into the prayer meeting. I miss that, praying and just fellowshipping with everybody in the prayer room. I miss walking into the auditorium, seeing people's hands raised up, worshiping Jesus. There's just so many things. One of the other things I miss, because I am a people person, is being in personal contact with people. Laying hands on people, praying. So it kind of got me, well, I miss all of those things. But what brought it home to me today was just going, when you start missing things, is that what's really important? A few weeks ago, when the restrictions started, we had a couple that wanted to get married. And so it got to the point where, you know, where the government said you can only have 5 people gathering for a marriage ceremony. And so the question was, do we want to get married or not? And so they decided to get married. And what was kind of interesting for me was seeing this young couple finding out, going to the point of saying, what's really, really important? And when you're doing a wedding, what's really important is, you know, the number one thing, you pick out your venue. You invite all your friends. Then there's a celebration afterwards. There's the dress. There's the flowers. It's just so many things to do for a wedding. But they scaled it down. So for the first time, we did a wedding in a room, very plain room, couple of Christmas lights, table, couple of candles, signing, and myself, bride and bridegroom, and 2 witnesses. And what was really interesting, we started to talk and we were praying, and we said, well, what's really important about a wedding? And the first thing they said, what's really important? It is important to have our parents, but they can't make it because they're both overseas. We cannot have any friends there. But what's important was the presence of Jesus. They said, Tim, one of our things we want is we want the presence of Jesus. And it blew me away that we conducted a wedding with 4 people in attendance, but the presence of God was there. And what was really important, when you scale everything back down, what was important, that 2 people gave their commitments to each other. So even in this quarantine, yes, we're missing the things we used to do, but we're getting back down to what's really important. You know, today we want to talk about receiving the Passover. Well, to put this into context, the Passover gives you and makes you so that you can receive everything that God has for you. The Passover prepares you so that you can receive and that you can also go through anything. We're going to learn about this, but let this spirit also be in you, that the Passover has already prepared us to what we are going through. This has not taken us by an accident, or nor has it taken us by storm, but it has prepared for us. First thing we want to do today is I want to just give you some foundations that you can rely on. In Mark chapter 4, verses 27 to 29, the Message Bible says this: "Then Jesus said, 'God's kingdom is like a seed thrown on a field by a man who goes to bed and forgets all about it. The seed sprouts and grows. He has no idea how it happens. The earth does it all without his help. First the green stem of the grass, then the bud, and when it is ripened, When the grain is fully formed, he reaps the harvest. Ecclesiastes 1, chapter 11, verse 5 says the same. Just as you'll never understand the mystery of life forming in a pregnant woman, so should you never understand the mystery at work in all that God does. What I love about this is the foundation. The Bible says it's a farmer. He spreads seed out. He doesn't know how it happens, but he knows that there is going to be a harvest. So when we start understanding and receiving God, we might not know how. So you're hearing God going to help you, but you go, well, I don't understand how because I'm in quarantine. And you go, well, I have this issue. I don't understand how. The Word of God gives us this foundation. And he says this, you don't have to know how. The Bible says he throws the seed in, and then he goes to bed, forget about it. The foundational is this, is that the seed that you sow does the work and not you. Your part of the equation is I receive the seed. And when you receive the seed, you can rest and go, now let the seed take over. So when we're talking about the Passover, you receive the Passover and then you let it do its full job. Let it do its full mission, what it was designed to do. So you might not know how. You might be where you are in Australia. I don't know how God can make this happen. I don't know how. Rest. You need to understand and put this in the activity in your heart, is that the seed will produce. When God said it, it will produce. When we're talking about the Passover. Now, understanding the Passover opens up so many other scriptures. It opens up vast amount of revelation. What I have found in my life and in other people, if we get the first step wrong, every other step is wrong. But when we understand Passover, it makes it. Understanding this, that the Passover is still one of the most important parts of the Jewish calendar. It is something that happens that activates you for the rest of the year. But what we want to talk about today, because when we start talking about the first Passover, and I want to correlate it to the Passover with Jesus. So the start of the festival of Passover, and also when the Passover changed. You've got to listen to what I'm saying now very carefully. God instituted the Passover, but there was a season that happened that God says now. So when he instituted the season, as we talked about on Friday morning, was the Passover started. So Passover was extremely exciting. So Jesus put it in, then the lamb comes in and he says, a lamb for a household, a lamb for us out. Every year from that time, Passover has been celebrated. Now we come to the part that's exciting for you now and exciting for me where we are now. Let's go to the Passover that we are celebrating today. We go over to Passover that Jesus comes in. He comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. All the lambs get taken from Bethlehem into Jerusalem. Now, every Jew at that time had his calendar marked, and it was the Passover celebration. It was one of the most celebrated Passovers that is known. They were celebrating. Now, here's something that was around when Jesus was there. During the Passover, especially in the time that Jesus was, in Deuteronomy 18:18, there's a prophetic word that God will raise up a prophet like unto us, like Moses. Now, for every Jew, when they looked at that, and every Hebrew, when they looked at that, when they talk about Moses, he has got his foundations, and his message was that he was sent to rescue and take the people out of slavery and bring them into the promised land. Two amazing things that we need to understand when we start talking about the Passover. The Passover was not just to get out of prison, but get into the promised land. It was always two parts. Two parts of the Passover is you are in prison, I'm taking you out of prison, and I'm also taking you into the promised land. So there is a purpose for your freedom. There is a purpose for you getting out of slavery. There is a purpose from you going from fear into faith. So when we talk about the Passover, in the time of Jesus, there was this groundswell. Could Jesus be the Messiah? Could Jesus be the coming Messiah? Can this be the end of hope and into public reality? So when we start talking about the first Passover, now here are the two differences. In the first Passover, we brought the lamb to the priest. And then the priest was doing the sacraments, and he was doing the sacrifices, and he would take the blood into the Holy of Holies. So what we had the lamb and the priest. This is where we start to part with this. This is where the shadow comes in. Jesus comes in and says this, I am not only the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist goes, behold the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the priest and the Lamb. He's the one offering, and he's offering himself. So when Jesus starts and he moves, it is amazing because no one is forcing him to the cross. No one is pushing him to the cross. Jesus says, I am the high priest, and I am also the blameless lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Now, when we start to move into these dynamics, everything changes. If you will understand the Passover, it will open up so much life to you. It will open up so much energy of the Holy Spirit right now in your situation. So when we start to move in this, the Bible says, see, to me was this question, I always said this question, is why did the disciples survive those three nights and days after the crucifixion? So Jesus has Passover before the crucifixion. So first thing I've realized is that Jesus had prepared the disciples for those nights. Jesus had prepared Peter for the denial. During the Passover, during the time that they were gathering together, Jesus goes to Peter, Peter, watch this. Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Not only are you going to deny me one-to-one, but you are going to be in a company of people, and you're going to deny me. But he says, it's okay, because I prayed for you. When I started to download this, it is that the Jesus, in his compassion, in his passion, and the beauty of Passover, was that he prepared his disciples. He says, yes, you're going to deny me. Yes, you're going to be scared. Yes, you won't even be associated with me. But because I have prepared you, you will overcome. And even though when he even said to Peter, after you've done all these things, go and encourage my brethren. So the part of me that it's exploding at the moment, and it's where we are right now, is I am prepared what I'm going through. You are right now, yes, I'm looking at you now, and I know what you're going through. There are certain things, isolation is really, really hard. As I was mentioned before, if you like your own company, you're actually thinking this is a godsend. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There's no one around. But if you're like me, if you're like others, that you're going, oh no, at times, you know, I find myself doing staring out the window trying to see if I can watch people walk by. I am flicking through photos. I'm looking at the photos in the church and I go, wow, because of that. But all of a sudden, just to realize, every time I get this anxiety attack and I go, oh, I should. No. God has prepared me. God has prepared me. The Passover prepares you to go through this. So when Jesus says, I am the Passover. Now, the element that explodes more than anything else was this, that every time that a Hebrew family would take their calendar out and then they would cross over, goes, this is the Passover. Do you know what they would do? They would also go into the next year and says, we've got to do it all over again. We have to go through all the process over again. So what would happen within the Hebrew calendar is you would have the Passover, and then you go, okay, we finished it for the year. We're going to keep remembering, but it's got a use-by date on it. So we've got to do it all over and over again. So what you find is from Hebrews 12, over and over and over and over again. And then we come to Jesus. And now Jesus says, this is where it's different, is that I am the priest and I am the Passover lamb. This is who I am, and this is what I will do. So when Jesus comes back and says there's going to be a fundamental change in the way we do Passover. So Jesus says, I am the Passover, the lamb. Now, understand something. There's a phrase that we need to catch. It is the finished work of Jesus Christ. The finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, the foundation of the finished work of Jesus Christ, when Jesus was on the cross, he said this amazing word, it is finished. Everything that the Passover lamb was required of had happened. Everything that the high priest should have done has happened. So everything has been crossed. Everything has been, yes, it's happened. So when Jesus is on the cross, he goes, from now on, the way you have done Passover has now changed because the priest, I am the priest, and I am also the lamb. So when Jesus says, now I am the Lamb of God that has taken away the sin of the world. Now watch the wording carefully. John the Baptist looks at Jesus, behold the Lamb that takes away. Now after the cross, when Jesus says it is finished, he changes it. It says, behold, I am the Lamb that has taken away the sin of the world. I am the Lamb that has given you access. Now, let's go back to the first Passover. In the first Passover, the only, especially within the Hebrew, the way they would celebrate, there was always only one person that had access into the Holy of Holies. One person that could enter the virtual reality of the presence of God. He could walk in where no one could go. But then when Jesus comes in and he comes up and says, because I am the Lamb of God, I have come, I am giving you divine access into the very presence of God. I am no longer working to get you there. I am no longer encouraging to get you there. I have come and there. So here's the beauty of it. The blood of Jesus Christ gives you divine access to receive all the promises of God. Let me just read to you what one of the things that God's put on my heart is this. Give you a definition of divine access. The right opportunity to use and benefit from everything that the Lamb has provided and to retrieve what was lost. Divine access is the right opportunity to use and benefit from everything that the Lamb has provided and to retrieve all that was lost. Just explode this into your system. Is divine access gives you opportunities that you have never had. Divine access is about the blood of the Lamb. So Jesus says, before I was on the cross, you had some of these opportunities were far from you. Some of these blessings were never near you. Some of these blessings you were chasing after. When you understand the immensity and the power of the Passover, instead of you chasing promises, promises chase after you. Instead of you chasing things, things start to chase after you. Everything gets changed. That is why the Passover is one of the fundamentals that every built everything on. It was like we was talking about, is the farmer. He doesn't understand, but he can reap from it. So when we come today, when we're going to have Passover all together after this message, is that we now have divine access into everything that God. When we understand that when Jesus said he's finished, he's answered so many questions. I want to read to you 1 Corinthians 2:2. And it is where Paul comes in to the most dysfunctional church that ever was. You might think about dysfunctional families, but the church in Corinthians was dysfunctional and they had so many problems. And you think, what's the solution to all this problem? Paul says, and in 1 Corinthians 2:2 says this, for I made a decision to know nothing, that is to forego philosophical or theological discussions regarding inconsequential things and opinions, while among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. than and the meaning of his redemptive, substitutionary death and his resurrection. So Paul comes up and he says this: I know so many things. I'm a philosopher, I'm a theologian, but when I scale it back all down, this is what answers questions. This is what takes you from being quarantined with nothing to having abundance. He's from coming out of something and coming into the promises of God. So when Paul says this, I've got the answer. I've got something. It's all about what happened at the cross. It's all about that Jesus paid all the price. I love that. He goes, it's the meaning of his redemptive, substitutionary death and his resurrection. So when we start talking about the Passover, is that Jesus took everything that I should have, and he's given me everything that he has. So when we start talking about the Passover, is that you pass over. That means everything that you should have had, everything that should have come towards you, God says, I'm going to pass that over, and I will take what you deserve and I will give you what I have. So when we start talking about Passover, what we call communion, it's something that is absolutely amazing. Now we're going to prepare our hearts to receive. Here's something that I was pondering on this morning while in prayer. Jesus said, you'll find this also in Exodus, says, do this as a memorial, or do this as to remember. When Jesus said this, when we start taking of the Passover, he made this comment. He said this, he said, do this in remembrance of me, till I come. Do this as often, but also do this in remembrance. You'll find this is it's the same kind of admonition that we have in Psalm 103. Do not forget his benefits. So Jesus says, remember, remember, remember. And my first thought is, okay, is he saying remember because I have forgotten? Or is there more to this? So when Jesus is going there, remember this. So I'm just starting to remember. What do you do when you remember? To give you just a little bit of a key of this, every time Jesus performed a miracle in the inclusion with the disciples, the next time he did a miracle and if they didn't get it, he would say this to them, remember. Okay, the time where Jesus comes into the boat and he starts to talk about that, do not beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the disciples goes, oh, Jesus is ticked off at us because we forgot bread. Then Jesus makes this comment. He goes, don't you remember how I fed the 5,000? Don't you remember, remember? And it just dawned on me. It was like a light just came on. Every time that I sit myself in the right position and I remember the cross and I go into the Passover, I get an extra layer, or I get another revelation. Every time that we come to the table of the Lord, there comes a deeper revelation, a deeper revelation. The Word of God is so powerful. It says, even if you will take communion every single day of your life, when you come into a position and you remember under the influence and the power of the Word, under the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit, and you start to think about the Passover, you start to think about Jesus, you start to think about his love, God takes you deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, if you remove that, communion becomes a religious duty. Well, I take this and I take that. So when we now remember, we'll let God to take us deeper. Let God to take us deeper. And just remember this, is that the Passover is substitutionary. The lamb was your substitute. So when we're going to take communion, I want you to substitute your loneliness with his friendship. Everything that you're struggling with, that you go, God says this to you, I was your substitute, instead of you going through it. You don't need to know how. You just need to have faith in. So today, as we come into this, hey, the Passover is amazing. I understand that Jesus says, I long to do the Passover. It's because in the Passover, you are being trained. In the Passover, you are being prepared. So everything that you have to go through, you get preparation in the Passover. That is why Paul says, I don't want to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because when I understand that, everything else opens up. Everything else opens up. So right now, with your families, where you are, we want to take Passover. We want to take Passover. Understand something. Passover is not about judging ourselves. It is about exalting the Lamb. Passover is going, God, this is what you gave me. It's not something we work for. It's something we receive. So Passover, like we're talking about the wedding, we take it all the way down without any of the frills. What's Passover? It's that Jesus says, everything that you needed to suffer, I suffered. So now I want you to receive the benefit of it. I want you to receive the benefit of it. So we take some bread. So, you know, in your family where you are now, you could be alone or you could be with your family. It's a really good time with right now I've just got a full loaf, or you might even have a biscuit. Whatever you have. Jesus said this. This represents my broken body for you. Just pause for a moment. And that means for whatever is broken in your life, the body of Jesus Christ, it's His word. It comes into your life. So the Bible says you're looking at bread, but you say, Pastor Ted, this is just bread. The Bible says you sow a seed. I don't know how. I don't understand how. I mean, just taking this bread that I bought from Coles. It's just bread, but I've now taken something natural and brought it into the Passover, and there's a transformation. There's a transformation in this. So just right now, you know, I'm here with AJS, a pastor. We're here, and we're going to take communion together. So just right now, just touch, Father. Right now, I want to thank you for the bread. Father, Father, we are here. We're in ice. We're in quarantining. We're here. But Father, we right now steady ourselves, steady our hearts, steady our minds. And we say, Father, I thank you that this is your body broken for me. And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus and by faith, I'm going to take this and I believe that everything that is broken in me. And I want you to step this up right now. You right now could be in isolation in a broken relationship. You could be in isolation with broken people around you. Why don't we do something so audacious and believe for a family breakthrough? Let's believe for a personal breakthrough and family breakthrough. You know, right now, I'm going to take this. I'm believing it for my family. My mum's 91 and she's at home alone. I'm praying for her right now. I've got Saul's mum and dad that are in isolation. And I've got my friends. So right now, I am believing for everything that is broken in every household. As your pastor, I'm standing with you and I am believing with you that your whole families are going to be saved. So whatever is broken, you might go, I don't understand, Ted, how that relationship can be mended. I don't understand. We don't need to understand. We just need to know. We don't need to know how, but we need to understand that the blood does it and it's the bread. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I take this that is broken, that everything with me and everything that is really dear to me that becomes mended right now in the name of Jesus. Why don't we just partake of this together? Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you that right now that the people that have partaken will be made whole. Father, every broken piece in their heart, in their bodies. Father, I just pray for healing. Father, for the loved ones. Father, Father, for the families that we're taking and for the people that we are praying for. So, Father, right now, Father, we audaciously ask you for this amazing miracle that everybody in my house, everybody that I love, every broken relationship will be made whole because, Jesus, you broke your body so that we can be whole. And, you know, and then just right now, why don't you just take a cup? You know, again, this is just juice that I bought at Coles. It's ordinary, but it's what it represents that makes it extraordinary. So just right now, Jesus said, this is my blood that is shed for you. Again, personally, that in Leviticus, it tells us that the life is in the blood. What, this is just the huge significance of it, is when the blood touches something, the life that is in the blood goes into whatever it touches. So just right now, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit just to give you a revelation of the cup. He says, as often as you do it. Understanding is that Jesus shed his blood once, but the immensity of it, the Bible says, ear has not heard, eye has not seen, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the depth of love that God has for us. So every time I come to this, God reveals more and more and more. I am believing right now that God, when you partake of it, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to go into your life stream. It's going to go into your heart, into your mind, into everything that is dead. Because the Bible says this, right? The life is in the blood. So when the life of God goes into something, it becomes alive. So just right now, you might just take, whether it's cordial, whether it's just water, but it's what it represents. And we're going to take it now. And again, we're taking it for us. We're taking it for our family. We are believing right now for everything in your life that is dead, that life will come to it. We're believing in your body that when you start to take this, that the sickness is going to go. You might be right now suffering with the coronavirus. I'm believing that right now that the blood of Jesus Christ will come in and heal you. I believe in the power of the blood. See, the power of the blood, when it was applied on the door, just the application of blood on a house made the Passover. Can you imagine the immensity, not just on the door, but within you, within your system, in your mind, in your thoughts, over your fears? I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ can take a fear and make it into faith. It can make it take a defeat and make it into victory. So Father, right now I'm praying, Father, as we are ready to have this, we are ready to drink. Father, I ask you that right now in the name of Jesus, I'm praying for miracles and miracles and miracles. Father, I'm praying for every household. Father, everybody that is dear to us, that Father, as we partake, let there be an overflow of this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. I want you just right now where you are, just want you to thank you. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you for our church. Father, I thank you for every family. Father, I just pray a blessing upon every single household today. And Father, I just thank you that when you died, I don't have to wait for a lamb anymore. I don't have to wait for the Messiah because the lamb is already slain. The Messiah has already come in Jesus' name. Now, I just want to give you a word of encouragement. You can do this. As often. One of my great mentors is Smith Wigglesworth. He's gone to be with the Lord now, but he would have communion every day. Now, understanding something about communion, Jesus isn't dying every day, but what we are doing is we are receiving what's already done. The significance of the Passover is that there are no more lambs required, because Jesus was the last lamb and his life lives forever. I want to encourage you to do it via Zoom in your life groups. Do it by yourself. Practice this, because the life is in the blood. It's also in the Word of God. Hey, God bless you. And really look forward again sharing another message with you. I look forward to it. Hey, God bless you. Father, I just pray a prayer of blessing upon every household right now. Father, let the peace of God that passes all understanding be in every house. Father, I just pray for the health being. Father, for everybody that's struggling with isolation, Father, let the presence of God now flood their room, flood their living room, flood their bedroom, wherever they are. And Father, we also just right now pray for all our health professionals that need to be working, that you would protect them. Father God, all the people that are working in essential services that need to be out there, protect them. Father, we just thank you that we are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that we have divine access. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.